Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald and the Spectator.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Here's the millennial with the mic, Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, filling in for Grace Curley. She is the millennial with the mic. I'm also a millennial, and today I got the mic. Grace is off this week. She'll be back on Monday, though. You can hear all about where she went on spring break. Do you know where she is, Jared? I think she told me, and I just don't. I put it out of my mind. I hope it's somewhere warm.
Yeah, I don't know. I did not ask out of respect for privacy.
Respect for privacy. We've been stalking these poor royal family nonstop, which King Charles has come out and asked for respect, people to be nice in this. He thanks people and asks for more kindness during this time of need where both he and the Princess of Wales have cancer. And that's awful. We don't wish that on anyone, of course, and hope that they have a great recovery. And I did read, and I know I talked about it with you, Jared. I mentioned it to Emma yesterday, that some corners of the internet still not satisfied by the Princess Kate video, the sign of life where she's actually coming clean, talking about her cancer diagnosis. They've now had forensic AI experts look at the video, and they've declared it's real. No AI, no manipulation. So the weirdness in the video is just weirdness.
That's even more disturbing.
Well, I guess they had reality. The BBC, someone from the BBC came and filmed it. They didn't even let them film it themselves. So someone has validated, like, hey, they didn't film it. We filmed it. It's legit. And then, like, these forensic analysts, because deep fakes, and especially this week, I've been watching, there's a software, I'll look up which one I'm talking about in a second, but that's gotten really good at being able to help you even produce your own deep fake. If there's enough source material of you out there in video, it can create video of you, and then it can do, and I watched it demonstrated at this conference I went to a couple weeks ago, it can redo, let's say you film yourself giving a talk, it can translate it, and it can redub it and make your mouth match up to any of these other languages. It's really impressive. The technology in AI is just growing leaps and bounds, much, much faster than we can keep up with. Although I did read this article saying that Elon Musk was saying, like, in a year, AI will surpass all human understanding. It'll be smarter than humans. But have you ever kept track of the Elon Musk predictions? And this isn't throwing shade at Elon Musk. Like, you know, he is who he is and good for him. But he has this tendency when he makes predictions to say, like, things are going to happen in a year. Right? He'll say, like, in a year, Tesla is going to be producing X number of Cybertrucks. In a year, the boring tunnel is going, like, it's always a year. And I guess it's good to be aggressive, but it just means that I don't really trust his timelines anymore. I guess I trust his timelines as much as I trust the royal family's explanation of what's actually going on. But again, we do wish the king and the princess well. We're going to stop the conspiracy theories about what else might or might not be going on. But maybe, and I'm just going to throw this out there. This is wild. Maybe stop manipulating the images and being shady, because, like, it's really not the fact that she was away, it's not the fact that she was sick, it's not the fact that she had cancer and didn't disclose it, it's the cover-up. Just like Watergate, it's the cover-up. That's what gets you. You know who else needs to hear that message? Is Karine Jean-Pierre, favorite of this show, favorite of mine now. Yesterday we brought you the audio of Karine Jean-Pierre calling in to speak with this North Carolina radio host. And the White House is now claiming that he manipulated the audio and that he added and edited in the dial tone at the end. Do you think they know how phones work, Jared?
I mean, rotary phones, yeah. But I don't know if they understand that.
Well, Joe Biden, phone, I think, knows rotary phones. But Karine Jean-Pierre, KJP, like, do you think she's actually, you know, maybe she's never called into a radio station before? And the White House is pushing back in two respects. One of them was, like, they said, oh, she had a bunch of other interviews. She wasn't hanging up because she was flustered. She just, you know, was trying to stay on schedule. Do you believe that?
No. And is this really a battle you need to fight this way?
Right?
Like,
and then they said,
there's nothing else going on.
They said that he edited in digitally the dial tone, but like, that's just what happened when she hung up and he was on a, I assume a landline. Like when you just hang up abruptly, like that's the sound that it makes.
I don't know. We're going to need a BBC AI forensic, analyst to take a look at that before I can be sure.
That might be, maybe that will be my new career. Let Grace know when she's back from vacation if she needs a forensic AI expert on the show. I'm ready. I'm available. I will do a regular recurring ask the AI forensic expert. I think but we don't need a forensic AI expert. We need a forensic BS detector expert. Right. Because that's what this is. But I think you're right. Like, can you imagine that they felt the need to push back on this? What it tells you is that like it was damaging enough. The fact that she can't do an interview. And I can't get over the way that she responded to the question. And he didn't even say it. I mean, it's not like it's polite to ever ask someone if they or their boss have dementia. Like, that's not a polite question. I'll grant you that. But the way he said it is he first said, lots of people are concerned about the president's mental fitness. Everyone I told that I was going to have you on this show wanted me to ask you one question. They wanted me to ask you if the president has dementia. I think that's legit. I think that's in bounds. I think it's true. I think he led into it in a non-gotcha way. And all she had to do was say yes or no. Yes, he does. No, he doesn't. That's all she had to say. And then she could move on. Instead, she said, well, that is such an insensitive question. I can't believe you'd even ask it, which shows you that she's just not prepared for her job. And then he defends himself and says, people are asking, though. People are asking. And she says, no, don't interrupt me. You wanted to go down this rabbit hole. And he's like, yeah, I do. Like, take me down the rabbit hole. Does he have dementia or doesn't? Like, just say yes or no. Just say yes or no. And then she pivots to talk about how prices are coming down and that how Russia's responsible for inflation. And this is the thing. When Joe Biden became president, he lectured us nonstop about how he wasn't going to pass the buck. He wasn't going to blame other people. But these days with Joe Biden, it's always Donald Trump's fault. It's Russia's fault. It's this radio host's fault for doctoring the audio, which I don't believe they did. They've never taken accountability or responsibility. So, KJP, when you're in a hole, stop digging. It's the cover-up that gets you. So just stop. You don't need it. No one cares anyway, right? The people, I bet. Do you think that they carried the phone call and the hang-up on MSDNC last night? Was Jen Psaki out there like clamoring for truth? I mean, this is what we're in. Speaking of helpful suggestions from the news media, there was the squatters have been in the news quite a bit, and squatter rights and people on TikTok trying to educate people on how to take advantage of squatter rights. And ABC7 in New York had some advice for how to combat squatters. Why don't we share that now, Jared? Let's go ahead with Cut 8.
What else can you do?
You can do this, Bill. Look, this was $3.47 at Home Depot. It is a no trespassing sign. You can put this up in your front door, on your property line, somewhere where you can see it from the street. But this is the catch. Take a time-stamped picture of the sign. Most iPhones do this automatically. Yeah. Because what you want to prove to police is that the sign was up before the squatters moved in. You know what I mean? So you have to show that time and date stamp. That's also why video security is so important. Yeah. You can show they broke in, entered illegally, and then you have helped take away their squatter rights.
And we've heard from homeowners who use the sign with the camera to get out squatters. So we know it works.
Yeah. Look, a lot of people have second homes. They've got property. Maybe they've inherited something that's not really right in the town or neighborhood where they live. All of this makes a difference.
Yeah, and that's when you should ask friends and family, hey, cruise by my house, you know, and take a look, see if there's a car in the driveway, light on or off. And if you see something, don't tell them to confront the people inside, because as Dan's camera saw, that can get really dicey.
So here's the thing. I think, Jared, tell me what you think on this. I don't think it's, when Florida's just passed a law to make it a lot easier to get squatters out. If the squatter's already there, I don't think the sign's doing much. Do you?
No, and I, you know, that's why she was talking about the timestamp. And I mean, I guess it's kind of, it is something that can help. It's sort of like, you know, if you have...
Well, it's good advice. So yeah. I think people should do it. Like, I think you put that up because then you can prove, because one of the tests under the law is whether or not it was permissive, whether they had the right to be there in the first place or not. And if you can prove that you did put them on notice that they're not welcome and you have evidence with the camera that they broke in, you can prove in a court. Here's the thing. How about we stop creating the conditions under which people are breaking in and creating squatters' rights? Or let's do what they just did in Florida with the bill just signed by Governor DeSantis. Make it easier to get squatters out. Make it easier to protect the property that people have. I don't know. Am I too idealistic?
I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand the advantage for the politicians to not enforce some type of anti-squatter law. Like, I, you know, everything they do is motivated on how it benefits them. I don't see how this benefits them. So I don't understand why they don't just allow it to just be stopped. Like,
Jared, just because you don't see how it benefits them doesn't mean it doesn't, right? It's like you're trying to apply your logic to this other prism. And there's always something there, right? There's always some sort of like Orwellian, like census padding, like there's got to be a reason. We just got to figure out what it is. So we're going to put our thinking caps on over the break. And when we come back, we're going to check the poll question last night. This is my chance. All week, my preferred answer for the poll question has been in second place. You can go to gracecurlyshow.com right now, take the poll question, and maybe put my preferred answer in number one. That's my goal. Before I leave this week, I have one more day after today, still filling in for Grace. I want my answer to the poll. I'm not going to tell you which one it is because I don't want to sway you. And so if you weren't listening earlier, you don't know. But you have the chance. Gracecurlyshow.com, take the poll question, and when we come back, we'll check on how it's going. I did appreciate, by the way, Jared, I thought it was a great conversation we had earlier with Dave Henshey from Nassau Beach Inn. And if you didn't hear that segment, you can go to gracecurlyshow.com, click on store for Grace's goodies, where you can get 2 for 1. Basically, you spend $100 and get a $200 gift certificate. I think it's a great deal. And that'll go pretty far right now with the prices at the Nassau Beach Inn.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that Dave said is that weekends for April are filling up. May is filling up and it's going to start getting full up for the summer pretty soon. So yeah, go to gracecurlyshow.com, click on store to get Grace's goodies. If you don't have a chance to do that, or if you miss out on it, you can still get a great deal from the Nauset Beach Inn, because spring reservations right now, you can book an April stay at the Nauset Beach Inn from $249.99 a night. And in May, the rates are from $259.99 a night. Again, don't delay. Dave talked about this. Rooms are going fast. The Nassau Beach Inn is pet friendly. It has a view from every room, and check-in is contactless. I loved it when I went. My wife and I, we went down there. Dave talked about all the things you can do around there. There's the Cape Cod Rail Trail. There's the beach. There's fire pits. There's a barbecue pit. It's great too, because it's a really welcoming community. It's a fantastic destination. You need to check out the Nassau Beach Inn. And again, right now, $249.99 a night in April, $259.99 a night in May. Grace's goodies at gracecurlyshow.com. Click on store. There's no reason you shouldn't be able to get to the Nauset Beach Inn, but act quickly because these go fast. So to reserve your ocean view room, go to nausetbeachinn.com. That's nausetbeachinn.com.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne. Thanks for being with us while Grace is on spring break. We are not. Although both Biden and Trump traveling, they're in New York today. Seeing the images now on Fox of Donald Trump at the wake for the fallen New York City police officer who was shot, making a traffic stop for a repeat violent offender. Both Eric Adams and Donald Trump said to be there this afternoon for the wake as part of the funeral services. Joe Biden is in New York City also for a fundraiser, being hosted together with Barack Obama, Bill Clinton. I'm sure they have a lot to talk about.
Well, it's funny because Obama was actually on Air Force One with Biden. They got off together. Who do you think sat in the president's seat?
Do you think Biden?
No,
could
Joe,
remember?
Your chair's back over there. Yeah.
Do they remember which year it is? Like, wait a minute. Am I vice president? Am I president? Like, do you think he gets confused when he's in the same room as Obama?
That is such an offensive question, Aaron.
How dare you be so insensitive? You know, one thing they weren't talking about is who Biden's going to pick for vice president, because he's made clear that Kamala is staying on the ticket. And I think he does that so that they don't talk about the 25th Amendment. I think, you know, that she's a great insurance policy because no one's going to get rid of him.
Oh, yeah.
When she's the next option. I think that's the best insurance he could possibly have. But we don't know. Maybe they were talking about who they think that Donald Trump is going to pick. And I want to know what you think as well. So that's the topic of today's poll question. Today's poll question, of course, brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. For the final time today, Jared, please tell us, what is that poll question and what are the answers thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is who do you think Trump is going to pick for VP? Tulsi Gabbard, Kristi Noem, Mike Pence, Vivek Ramaswamy, Marco Rubio, Tim Scott, Elise Stefanik, or other?
I would like someone like Elise Stefanik because I think she understands how Congress works. She's obviously like working hard to kind of jockey for it. Funny, because at the beginning of the Trump presidency in 2016 when he was running, she wanted nothing to do with him. But then during the impeachment, she really emerged as one of his big defenders on the impeachment panel. And she's become one of his staunchest allies. And she was the first to endorse him in Congress. So I think she's jockeying for it. I think, though, he's going to go with someone like a little bit more soft-spoken. Maybe bring somebody else to get. So I think Tim Scott. Tim Scott is my answer.
Tim Scott is at 22%. Once again, second place. 24% say other. 15% for Tulsi Gabbard. 14% for Kristi Noem. 9% for Vivek. 8% for Rubio. 6% for Elise Stefanik. And 2% for Mike Pence.
At the risk of, you know, spouting misinformation, I'm still going to declare that a win for me, because even though Tim Scott is in second in the poll, I have to imagine that other is a catch-all category. So other as a catch-all category, is there one person that got more votes than Tim Scott in the poll? Like, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say other was probably multiple other people. But who are these other people? Like, who are the people that we're not asking about? Like, do you have others in mind, Jared, that you think?
I've mentioned this before. I think Lee Zeldin, the former congressman, almost governor of New York, may be in the running, because simply because there was rumor of him. He ran for head of the RNC and it was appointed to somebody else. So I was wondering if Trump was holding Lee Zeldin in reserve, because I know he knows him and has great respect for him. And he knows how to like ballot harvest and do all that stuff. So I think he may be a dark horse candidate in the other. But beyond that, I mean, unless he's going to go with, you know, some people still think somebody like a Tucker Carlson might be a possibility. So that could be in the other as well. But I think Lee Zeldin is my dark horse in the race.
Is that a widely held belief?
I don't believe so.
I can't believe that many people know who Lee Zeldin is. Like, that was, you were a lot further down the rabbit hole on that one than I expected on Lee Zeldin. That was deep. Like, good work, Jared. Way to be a political insider with your deep knowledge of obscure politicians.
Well, like KJP, I love going down rabbit holes on talk radio.
She had to go down it. He was the one that wanted her to go down it. She's just going down. She's chasing those rabbits, those rascally rabbits. Although she was so offended by the question. I don't know. I said about Jen Psaki, I was somewhat glad that she was leaving because she was so good at her job. KJP is so bad at her job. And so I think it would serve the president better if he had someone else in there. I don't love Admiral Kirby either, but I do like the tension between them. I like that they don't get along, and I like that they sometimes give different stories, because it shows how dysfunctional and how untrue everything coming out of that White House is. And I think people need a reminder of it. But I felt bad for her when she was hired because she wasn't ready for it. Now, no sympathy. I'm just embarrassed by her. I'm embarrassed for her. You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne in for Grace. We'll be right back.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. My name is Aaron Chadbourne. I am the fill-in host this week while Grace is away. You might know me from WGAN up in Portland, Maine, where I host Inside Maine some Saturdays, and I fill in for Matt Gagnon on the WGAN Morning News. And I formerly worked for Governor Paula Page, who was someone who was one of the early endorsers of Donald Trump. During the break, Donald Trump making remarks outside the wake for this fallen officer. He, you know, it's interesting. He's got the police officers all lined up behind him. They clearly are happy to be behind him. He's talking to the news cameras, and he really was bringing a lot of the focus to how this really never should have happened in the first place. How he thinks that, you know, the respect for police is at an all-time low. I don't know. Is it a good look for him, Jared, or is it a bad look for him? Because like he's trying to draw a contrast and say Biden's out campaigning. I'm here. Biden, of course, known for always being consoler in chief, right? Wanting to be at these things. And he often speaks. I remember when he came to Lewiston after the shooting up here, he talked to the cameras about gun control and other things. Like, do you think it's inbounds for Trump to be speaking at the funeral?
When he first walked up there, I was like, I don't know about this look. Because like you were talking about the contrast, but I think the message was brief. The message was concise and on point. So it wasn't a campaign stump like Biden would have done in this situation.
I think the people, they were all uniform standing behind him. They were happy to hear him speak out and say that we do need to really respect law and order and have respect for law enforcement, because that's part of what drives, although this brutal killing for this young police officer in his 30s. There was a traffic stop where I guess there was a parked car. They approached them. They asked, for them to either get out of the car, and they just shot the police officer. Really tragic. I don't know. We'd love to hear if people have other opinions about Trump, this contrast with Biden campaigning in New York. 844-500-4242, the number at the Grace Curley Show. I do think that it does. When you say that Trump is, going and paying respects to the family, which they invited him. He was invited to be there. They knew the cameras would follow. And then Biden, of course, in New York City to campaign with Barack Obama. I didn't see the footage. I got to find the footage of Obama getting off of Air Force One together with Joe.
Joe was allowed to step off first, and then Barack sans tie made his way down the short steps after him.
Did they use the big steps or the little steps in the back?
It was the little steps. Although
Obama came down that too?
Yeah, Joe came down first, and then Obama came behind him. But as they were getting into the vehicle that they were getting into, Joe stopped and got in first, and like Obama patted them on the back before he walked around the car and got in the other side. So
like Prince William and Princess Kate.
Exactly.
Interesting. The thing that I find remarkable, I don't know if you've had this experience recently where you see clips of Joe Biden from the beginning of his presidency and you compare them to now. Because like I thought he was old at the beginning of his presidency, but it's nothing like what you see today. Like he's a shell of himself, even from 3 years ago. Like the decline physically, mentally, verbally, it's a lot. It's really striking. And every time I see it, I'm like shocked and I'm taking it. I shouldn't be, because I know. And there's something about men when they turn 80, it just really starts to go downhill at a more exponential speed. I'm not saying that I prefer that or I'm wishing that on him, but I'm just taken aback every time I see footage. And it's really only from when he was sworn in, when he became president, when he was running for president. He's just in rapid, rapid decline. Do you agree, or am I making this up?
No, and I mean, he was at 90,000 miles on the odometer when he got there. And you add 4 years of stress. Everybody ages during the presidency, but yeah, it's amazing to see how far down he has gone from an already far gone place.
But and to think that he's asking to do it for another 4 years
after—that's insane to me.
Right? It's that you see the decline, you see how quickly it's happened, and to imagine what it's going to be. They said that about Hillary Clinton, back when she was running in 2016. They said, women age, and can you imagine how she'd be, and whatever. And we've seen it, and she's her old self, you know. But I think watching it with Joe Biden, with a very fragile elderly man in both mental and physical decline, I think it's just sad. 844-500-4242, the number to join the conversation here on the Grace Curley Show. Let's go ahead to the phone lives. Dave in Laconia. Go ahead, Dave.
How you doing? Yeah, I just wanted to postulate. I think the real reason that Barack was following Joe's was so that Joe wouldn't fall on him and end up having a real great photo op. You know, that would have been something to see, though.
Do you think they keep track of, like, how many days since his last stumble? Like, you know, like at the construction site where they say how many days since their last, like, safety? Like, yeah. Do you think that they track that?
Oh, you can bet they do. And they try to erase all the film they can. I'll give you $10,000 for that camera right now.
Thanks for the call, Dave. No, it's interesting. After the stumbles that he's made, the using of the short steps, like all that we've seen there, they pull out all the stops to protect him. That could be why Obama, but I don't know. He just kind of lacks a bit of, like, he lacks a little of that je ne sais quoi, you know, like he doesn't really appear that he like gets it, like kind of like how every time when he finishes a speech, he kind of wanders, which I love seeing Trump reenact when he does his impression of Biden trying to walk off the stage. It doesn't scream authority. It doesn't scream presidential. One thing that came out earlier, maybe about an hour ago, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson has sent a letter to Chuck Schumer announcing that he is going to send the articles of impeachment for Alejandro Mayorkas over to the Senate. So he's going to do it when they get back. I think the date they said is going to be on April 10th. When do they come back from vacation? Because they're off on, just like Grace, the House is on spring break this week. Are they gone for 2 weeks?
I think 2 weeks, yeah.
So that ostensibly 2 weeks from now would be when they would do it. Interestingly, and not to start a conspiracy theory, but remind me, Jared, who was it that sponsored the impeachment articles against Alejandro Mayorkas?
I believe it was Marjorie Taylor Greene, was it not?
And who is it that just filed the motion to vacate the chair?
I believe that was also Marjorie Taylor Greene. She just wants everybody out.
When are they supposed? She does want
everybody, everybody out.
But when are they supposed to take up that vacate, the motion to vacate? It's supposed to be right when they get back, right? There were two business days or something, which, like, turns out is going to be the same time that Speaker Johnson has put forward the very thing she wanted. So this could very well be, you heard it here first, I think this is an olive branch from Speaker Johnson to Marjorie Taylor Greene trying to give himself an argument about why he's the leader that, you know, MTG. Do you think he calls her MTG? Like, do people call Ruth Bader Ginsburg RBG to her face? Like, would they be like, hey, RBG, what's up? But this could be, I think it might be a olive branch of him reaching out and saying, like, oh, Marjorie Taylor Greene wants to get rid of me, but look, here I am. I'm leading the impeachment. And remember, it was that impeachment that led, I think, Representative Buck. I think Ken Buck, that's what he's leaving Congress over. Mike Gallagher, another Republican, he didn't vote the right way on the impeachment, and he's now leaving Congress and resigning early. So this impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas, Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, who is more concerned with how many people they can process at the border rather than securing the gaps in it where people are entering illegally, to begin with, because, you know, just don't have the resources. It's a shame we threw away all those materials that the Trump administration left there. Shame that we rescinded that executive order but can't figure out how to put one of our own. I think this is what's going on, though. I think that this is just my reading between the leaves. It's not quite as deep political analysis as our producer, Jared, who's focused on Lee Zeldin as a potential VP pick. But I do think that this could be, me reading the tea leaves, this could be a bit of Mike Johnson trying to defang, not defang Marjorie Taylor Greene, defang the argument made by Marjorie Taylor Greene to try to oust him. You think there's anything to that? I think there is.
Yeah, it definitely could be. I mean, because what are they going to do? Like, are they going to have another round of like 16 days of stupidity? And then all of a sudden, because you know there's going to be 213 votes for Hakeem Jeffries, And right. if Ken Buck, who's on his way out and wants to be on CNN or whatever, if he's on his way out, maybe he's, yeah, you know what? This is what you guys get. You know, I'm voting for Jeffries too. And then there it goes.
I think Ken Buck's gone. I think he's out. I think he's actually like gone now.
Oh,
like
okay.
they announced it, I think this week, that it's actually his seat's vacant. Mike Gallagher is still there for like another few weeks because he did that weird thing where his vacancy won't occur until after it's too late to replace him with a Republican. And I don't know if, and he says he consulted with leadership when he did that. I don't know. So Gallagher's the one that could play games before he leaves. And I don't think he will. I think he's relatively well-respected other than that. He's been the anti-Chinese Communist Party voice in the caucus. But he could. This is the problem, though, with having such a fragile majority, is it means that on any given day, every individual member of the House of Representatives, one of the most volatile groups of people that you could assemble, every day, every one of those people kind of has veto power over the Republican conference. And that, I think, is very dangerous. Something that Republicans need to address if they hope to win in November and take back the majority again. By the way, Donald Trump did just make an endorsement in Maine's second congressional district race, which I only mentioned because, you know, there are a lot of people in New Hampshire and Massachusetts who are listening to this show. And to talk about Maine, where I'm from, you know, I get it. Like, that's a little much. But Maine's second congressional district is always ranked as one of the top potential swing seats because its electorate are skewed to the Republican side. Donald Trump has won that district both times he ran for president. He split the electoral votes off, leading Democrats in Maine to try to join the National Popular Vote Compact, which I don't know how that's legal, but because it is a swing district and Jared Golden, a Democrat, serves in it, it matters. And Donald Trump has just weighed into the Republican primary there and endorsing former NASCAR driver, current state representative Austin Terrio. So Trump has picked his candidate. Austin is the better funded of the candidates in that race. The other candidate, Mike Sobolewski, had portrayed himself as the more MAGA candidate. But I think that Trump's endorsement probably means both the financial advantage, now Trump's endorsement, I think that probably means that's the candidate there. So that's a little bit of news. Maybe we'll try to have Austin on. He'd be a good person to talk to. Former NASCAR driver. I think it's a good profile. But you know how it is. The insiders know how to win elections. The incumbents are hard to oust. Lots of people have tried. Maybe this will be the year. But if Republicans are going to take the majority, they need to make a case to the American people. I have a couple more thoughts on Speaker Mike Johnson. I'll get into them when I come back. Let's take one more quick break, and then we'll finish out the show. I am Aaron Chadbourne in for Grace Curley. You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
We are back, everyone. This is the Grace Curley Show. I'm not Grace Curley. She'll be back on Monday. I'm Aaron Chadbourne. It's been a pleasure filling in for Grace. It's been a great show today. I'm on Twitter watching, or on X, watching the footage of Joe Biden come down the stairs. And I said they were in the back of the plane. There are two exits from Air Force One. One's in the front of the plane, but above the presidential seal, because it's on the cabin where like they actually are. There's one in the bottom of the plane, which is a little bit behind the presidential seal, still kind of in the front of the plane. But they came down the small stairs. I'm surprised Obama was willing to do it. You think Obama's ever used those stairs, the small stairs? He he just can bound up and down them. The other thing, I often forget that Obama still lives in Washington, D.C., which is unusual. Most presidents like make a big production of leaving. Like, they're leaving Washington, D.C. They're getting out. They're making room for their successor. And Obama famously decided to stay, to remain in D.C. That's where he, you know, feels the most at home. And that's where he chose to live. And so Obama hitching a ride with Joe Biden from D.C., where Biden ostensibly was, catching a ride on Air Force One. Bill Clinton, of course, also going to be at that fundraiser where I've read it will feature Queen Latifah, Stephen Colbert, Lizzo. Like, that's who they're hobnobbing with. But Bill Clinton lives in New York, right? So he's a local. He didn't have to. Although, I'm a little surprised. I wouldn't put it past Bill Clinton to go to D.C. just so he could ride on the plane. Wouldn't you think? Couldn't you see Bill Clinton doing that? Popping down to D.C. just to be able to hitch a ride back on Air Force One?
Oh, that is absolutely in character.
I mean, it reminds me of the time that, you know, he was sitting on his plane on the tarmac and Loretta Lynch was there. And he was like, oh, hey, like, let's just have like a quick chat while his wife was running for president against Donald Trump. And she was the attorney general. I mean, I would see, I'm surprised. I like, you know, a bill could have been like, oh, like happened to be in D.C. on Clinton Global Foundation business.
You know, they have comedians in cars. This is just politicians in planes. You know, it's just a weekly sit down with Bill.
Maybe Bill got to the event early, though. He'd rather a little more FaceTime with Lizzo. Do you think that's what he's doing? Lizzo's partying with Bill Clinton?
I don't think Lizzo is his speed.
Yeah, that's true. A little. Yeah, but I think, is Hillary going to be? I haven't heard anyone say whether Hillary's going to be there. They've said that Obama's going to be there. Biden's going to be there. Clinton's going to be there. But is Hillary coming? That's my new question. That's what I'll be looking at. All right, I did say I wanted to say a little bit more about Speaker Johnson. Here's the thing I wanted to say about him. I think Marjorie Taylor Greene's filing these article to remove, what is it? What's it called? The motion to vacate the chair. I don't think it's headed anywhere because I think, number one, I think there are enough Democrats who are going to give him a pass on this one. Like they wouldn't do with Kevin McCarthy because they all knew and disliked Kevin McCarthy. I think most people still don't know Mike Johnson, and I think they're going to give him a pass because it's his first time doing anything one way or the other. Here's where I think he's in trouble. I think the third rail that if he touches, he's going to be in real trouble with his party is Ukraine funding. If Mike Johnson joins with Democrats to get the funding to Ukraine over the objection of a majority of his caucus. Now, if a majority of his caucus goes with him, I think he's okay. But if a majority of his caucus opposes it and he puts it out there, that's what I think will do him in. I think that's when he could be in real danger. Right now, I think he's not in real danger. I do think that this is a olive branch that he's giving to Marjorie Taylor Greene to say, look, you really seem to care about Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas and impeaching him. You put forward this impeachment. I'm going to move it forward. I'll move it forward when we get back. They'll take the heat off of me, put the heat on Alejandro, and we can join together. I'll show that I'm with the caucus. I'll show that I'm standing with MTG. Yeah, you know me. Right. Like that's how he can come back after recess to try to reunite his caucus, give them a common foe. And that foe's name is Alejandro Mayorkas. We'll see, though. But I think he stays out of trouble so long as he doesn't bring the Ukraine funding. Once he does that, which I think he's going to, then I think we might be looking for a new Speaker of the House. More on that tomorrow when I'm back filling in for Grace. I am Aaron Chadbourne. You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. We'll close out the week tomorrow, but there's more to come with Howie Carr coming up right after this.